Concern is growing that the four members of the Halawa family, who are amongst nine foreigners being held by Egyptian authorities after disturbances at the Al-Fatah Mosque in Cairo on Saturday, may face a number of charges. Richard Spencer of the Daily Telegraph is in Cairo and joins me now. Richard, good morning to you.
Good morning.
What do we know about these nine foreigners, including the Halawa siblings? Obviously, we know a lot about the Halawas, but what about the five others?
Well, there are a couple of Canadians, a couple of Turks, and a couple of Syrians. Obviously, those numbers don't quite add up, but nothing quite adds up around here. They were all arrested over the weekend, end of last week, during these protests. Various accounts of where they were. The Halawa siblings, as you say, we know all about them. The Canadians, for example, were a pair of doctors who seemed to be on their way to do medical assistance in Gaza, and they just seemed to have been caught up in it almost at random, according to the accounts of their families, and taken to a police station and sort of, as you say, they may face charges. We're not quite sure about these charges. I mean, they seem rather generic. And, of course, they are just nine of thousands of people who have been arrested in the past couple of weeks, all of whom face a sort of variety of charges that the authorities are using to frighten other protesters with. None have actually had charges, and I imagine there are fairly sort of high-level diplomatic talks going on behind the scenes about it.
Because it would appear that all of the detainees have said that they were passing by the mosque and they sought refuge in the mosque when clashes broke out. I mean, that seems logical enough that you would retreat to a mosque if there was trouble in the vicinity.
Yeah, I think, to be fair, you know, you wouldn't be in that area unless you were more than just passing by. I mean, there had been a very large protest there. There'd been large protests in many of the main squares in Cairo. I think this family have said, have they not, that they were taking part in the protest. And, of course, then the protests came under attack and people sought refuge in the mosque. But as you said, that's a very far cry from actually being involved in anything dangerous. There is an attempt in Egypt to demonize anybody who took part in these protests as terrorists or sympathizers with terrorists. And that's the state we're in Egypt. It's a very aggressive message that the regime are putting out.
I mean, there have been suggestions by the regime that some of these people may have been carrying arms or may have been found with arms or in the vicinity of arms.
Yes, and they put out various videos. On the other hand, you know, many journalists, many other independent people went to the scenes of these protests before they were all broken up last week. And, you know, didn't see much evidence of weapons. And certainly, although there have been killings of police as well, you know, the vast majority of those killed were the protesters.
In relation to the Muslim Brotherhood, has the crackdown been continuing today? Have there been more arrests, more incarcerations?
Absolutely. They are trying to round up all the senior leadership. The senior Muslim Brotherhood spokesman, Murad Ali, was arrested at Cairo airport. He was apparently trying to leave the country. A very well-known preacher, Saswat Haghazi, who made very rabble-rousing speeches from Brotherhood platforms, though not himself a member of the Brotherhood, he was arrested near the border with Libya. As you know, yesterday, the leader of the Muslim Brothers, the Supreme Guide, was arrested at a flat in Cairo, near where these protests were. He'd been on the run, I guess. Certainly a warrant was issued for his arrest a couple of weeks ago. They're clearly trying to sort of break the Brotherhood once and for all, it would seem.
And are they going, do you think, to ban the Brotherhood? Is there any point in banning the Brotherhood when they have incarcerated most of the leadership?
That's a very good question, actually, because I think the assumption was that it would be banned, I think. There does seem to be a general reversion to so many of the rules and regulations and rulers, indeed, from before the overthrow of Hosni Mubarak. And in those years, the Brotherhood was formally banned. But it was formally banned and yet allowed to operate at the same time. It's a slightly strange compromise. And the compromise is to grow and claim.
Right, Richard, I'm sorry you're breaking up. I think we may have you back
sorry.
Again. Carry on there.
Yep, can you hear me?
Yes,
now?
We have you now. We have you back now, yeah.
Yeah,
this ambiguous attitude towards the Brotherhood may not have been the best thing. So maybe if the army take a second thought, they may think, well, we've said that Islamists are welcome in the political process. How does that happen in any sensible way if they're banned? We should know the next day. It is certainly being discussed, and it would be the obvious next step. It might be the final, blow to the Brotherhood, but it's survived for 85 years, much of which time it was banned as well. So the army may consider that having a formal ban isn't really worth it.
OK, Richard, thank you very much indeed for talking to us this morning from Cairo. Richard Spencer of the Daily Telegraph. The US has counselled against the banning of the Brotherhood, but we'll see whether that decisive step is taken by the authorities in Egypt, although, as Richard has said, the Brotherhood has survived banning in the past. It's time for news now from Clodagh Walsh.